together at first.
Come, come, whoever you are, wanderer, worshiper, lover of leaving, ours is no caravan of despair. Come,
in a round right here.
Come, come, whoever
now
you
here.
Are. Come, come, whoever you are. Come, come, whoever you are. Come, come, whoever you are. Wanderer, worshiper, lover of
Paisley up to light our chalice this morning. So we light this chalice, the symbol of our faith, for hospitality, kindness, and love, because these are our aspirations as Unitarian Universalists for all people. Let us say our affirmation together. Let us open our eyes to see what is beautiful and what is wondrous. Let us open our eyes to learn what is true and what is mysterious. Let us open our hearts to love ourselves and our neighbors.
For our opening reading, call to worship this morning, To Be the Welcome We Crave, by Reverend Dr. David Breeden. Let's be the welcome we crave, open hearts, arms outstretched. Let's embody radical welcome, unquestioning love. Let's be the welcome we crave, deeply hearing voices and hearts. Let's be the welcome we crave, enriching understanding. Let us embody the community we crave together. Now let's stand for our next hymn, Spirit of Life.
And I would like to invite all young people, children, to the front to prep for the motions they practice with Kara. Are there any other children who would want to come to the front with us? I don't actually know them, so you all have to do it for me. There you go. Kara will help you out. Here, come on up. Right, almost, almost. We're getting set up. We're getting set up. All right, right about here. Come on, Irene.
Spirit of life, come unto me. Sing in my heart all the stirrings of compassion. Blow in the wind, rise in the sea. Shape of justice, bruise, hold me close, wings set me free, Spirit of life, come to me, come to me.
Greeting each other. So this morning, I would like you to welcome, wait, you haven't seen him. I want you to welcome as many people as you can. Welcome way more people than you ever have before.
Hi.
is called, surprisingly, Everybody's Welcome. Everybody's Welcome. Oh, I'm supposed to do that. Sorry, everyone. Let me grab the book. Okay. In a forest clearing, there stood a little mouse, dreaming of the future in a great big happy house. Suddenly, Frog appeared with a sorry tale of woe. My pond, my home is all dried up. I have no place to go. Froggy, please don't worry. You can stick with me. Everything will be all right. You just wait and see. Let's build a home together. We'll make it big and strong. And once we get started, we won't be sad for long. Everybody's welcome, no matter who they are, wherever they may come from, whether near or far. Please help us, cried the rabbits. We've had an awful scare. An eagle's chased us from our home. Do you have room to spare? Everybody's welcome. If you need a place to hide, come and help me build this house. You'll be all safe inside. Some of us can form a chain, and all work as a team. We'll build a shelter stick by stick, following our dream. I'm all alone, cries Big Brown Bear, with cheer drops in his eyes. I frighten other people off because of my great size. Come along and join us, Bear. A great big chap like you is just what we've been missing. There is so much you can do. Everybody's welcome. They can all play their part. Just look at Big Old Bear. He's already made a start. Flapping and a fluttering, a flock of birds arrive. Someone's chopped our tree down. How will we all survive? If we all work together, no task is too great. Even if some helpers arrive a little late. There's a little snail. Sorry, I'm late. And the news will soon spread for miles around of what we are building. A home safe and sound. And the rain clouds, as the rain clouds gather in the dark and stormy sky, the animals keep building a roof to keep them dry. And when our house is ready and everything's complete, we'll all live here together and life will be so sweet. Our home will be so happy, we'll fill it up with song, and everybody in it will feel they belong. And now we will sing our children to their classes. And today the youth will be staying in the service and joining us. So please stay. And now we will sing our children out.
Turn our attention now to gratitude and giving. We are honored here at WOF by financial gifts given weekly, monthly, annually, and even through the power of gifts given at the end of life, which all help us meet our goals, expand our reach, and help our ever-evolving community take new shape year after year. Clearly, another of the greatest honors and rewards we receive is the way WOF is attended to. By volunteering individuals, families, teams of friends, giving life, energy, and momentum to WOF in all its many facets. We're grateful for all of the gifts and inspired by your attention. And Tracy mentioned this morning that there is a card in the seat back pocket in front of you. If you see something on there, a way that you would like to be involved in volunteering and you'd like to fill that out and pop it in the basket, make it easier for us to reach you. But otherwise, the ushers will come and pass the basket. Mm-hmm. Join us in our affirmation. Let us be grateful when we are able to give, for many do not have that privilege. Let us be grateful for all those who share their gifts with us, for we are enriched by their giving. And let us be grateful even for our needs, so that we may learn from the generosity of others.
There is so much beauty and love and joy in the world. And there is also a lot of pain and suffering in the world. And in our service, we like to remember that life is about balancing those two things, figuring out how to manage the joy among the suffering. And I know for many of us, that's something that we want to learn how to balance right now. And so I would like to invite all of you, any of you that would like, to come forward and drop a stone into the water, which represents this community and how we do hold all those joys and sorrows and help people find the balance between dealing with the suffering and also remembering to find the joy. So today, obviously, we're going to do a little different, two joys and sorrows a little different. We're actually going to release people by rows, beginning at the back. So we have one row at a time, so we don't kind of get in a traffic jam. And people are going to walk down this aisle, drop the stone, and then walk back down that aisle to their seat. You know, we're going to do a little U-turn. So we're doing a little U-turn here, and so we're going to see how it goes. We're hoping for the best. And so we will start with a little music from Betsy, and then we will move into joys and sorrows.
In broken relationships.
Our Beaverton School District and Teachers Union came to an agreement, so we have a contract, no stresses.
We welcomed a 5-month-old golden retriever puppy into our family this week. Visit with my dad yesterday, but I have an amazing trip with my nieces and nephews planned up in a couple months, so.
system for the nurses and patients affected by the strike. And also our elder doggy passed away yesterday.
This weekend is my favorite parade in New Orleans because I got to push my friend Naya in a wheelchair to it while she was going through chemo. And then this year we were going to march with my friend in honor of her son who she lost. So sorrow that I can't be there, but joy that I can be here with you people.
And so someone asked me to drop a stone for all those children who are trans or gender nonconforming, who are affected by the executive order this week that their schools could no longer support those changes or teach about those changes. And for all the other joys and sorrows in this room and in the world. Now it's time for our meditation, prayer, or reflection, as is your tradition. I want today to really promote reflection. I want you to think about inclusion and belonging. And I want you to think about somewhere, sometime, someplace where you have really felt like you belonged. Consider who you were with. How did they make you feel? What did they do to welcome you and include you? How did you know that your authentic being was welcome? How did you know that your gifts were treasured? We will come out of this reflection with the hymn, "We Would Be One." You may remain seated.
No.
You all sound so beautiful this morning. Thank you. Reading this morning by Rosemary Bray McNatt. Why are we still talking about inclusivity and diversity when we have done so little to make them real? Why are we still looking pained about the lack of diversity in the denomination? Because diversity, inclusivity is terribly hard, terribly uncomfortable, definitely unsettling, and often quite frustrating. What I know about being inclusive, crossing from culture to culture, learning the language of diversity, is that it's the work of a lifetime. It's hard to accept people who are not like you, who don't talk the way you do, or believe the things you believe, or dress or vote as you do. It's even harder to appreciate them for the things about them that are not like you, to find them interesting and fun, to enjoy that learning, to enjoy the learning that's part of the experience, and to acknowledge, finally, that you may have to agree to disagree. Our musical gift this morning is Hope Machine by the Okie Dokie Brothers, brought to us by Spencer.
So y'all have been probably wondering what the banjo is for. We're going to move away from our country theme from last week and go straight into bluegrass.
Well, it's gonna fall.
Well, every day I jump out of bed, splash water all over my head, brush them up my teeth, make sure my ears are clean. Well, these days you gotta be strong, so I do a push-up and sing a song, pick up the guitar, stamp on the tambourine. Always good to change my socks, know the tools in my toolbox, learn people good, but learn myself the best. Don't get lonesome, stay glad, take a bath, wear some plaid, work when I can work, but don't forget to rest. So dream good all night long, rise up and sing your song. They say life is hard and they're not wrong, so keep that hope machine running strong. Plan what you can plan, dance when you can, laugh at yourself, make up your jokes. Little bit of fun, little bit of growth, hopefully a little bit of both. Love your ma, love your pa, and love all kinds of folks. Teach humble, learn proud, scuffle with the struggle, wrestle with the pain. Open homes, open blinds, open hearts and open minds. Let in the sunshine, let in the rain. Praying good all night long, rise up and sing your song. Say life is hard and they're not wrong, so keep that hope machine running strong. Gotta keep that hope machine running strong.
There's a little brief reading here. Think about this little ditty. Diversity is being invited to the party. Inclusion is being asked to dance.
So I just love that quote. I just love that quote. Diversity is being invited to the party. Inclusion is being invited to dance. Isn't it great to be invited to a party and then be invited to dance? People want you there. They want you to be part of it, bringing your whole self to the music. You belong. Our story this morning offered another version of belonging. The animals are literally running for their lives, and they are invited to create a safety together, joining together with each of their gifts to build a home until they are safe from those who want to hurt them or exclude them. And this is what most of us really want. We want to deeply belong somewhere. We want to be included. We want our authentic self to be welcomed. And we want our gifts and our perspectives to matter. Maslow placed belonging right after food and housing and safety in the hierarchy of human needs. And so, unfortunately, nearly every person has experienced not belonging. Perhaps we were rejected for who we are. We weren't invited to the party or asked to help build the house. Or if we showed up at the party, people wouldn't talk to us. They didn't want to know us. They certainly didn't ask us to dance or build the house where we would be safe with everyone else. Or maybe not belonging was not a full rejection, but our sense that parts of us would be unacceptable. And so we wanted to belong so badly that we decided to hide parts of ourselves in order to belong. Maybe that meant our spiritual beliefs, or our education, or our background, or our life experiences, or hidden disabilities, or our economic situation, or our sexual or gender orientation, or so many other things. We would think it would just be best if other people didn't know. And some of us can't cover and have visible identities that make other kinds of people just uncomfortable. Perhaps it's our skin color, or our gender identity, or our disability, or our age, or our weight, or our attractiveness. Unfortunately, exclusion happens in UU congregations as well. Both kinds of exclusion. And at the same time, I have no doubt that everyone here wants everyone to feel like they belong. Hospitality and treating each person as if they have worth and dignity are essential values to us as Unitarian Universalists. And I think, actually, that Wolf is pretty good at this, which is one reason I am very proud to serve here. But all of us sometimes get caught up with our own friends, and making connections with people who feel familiar and easy to be with. We have preconceived ideas about other people that might make us uncomfortable until we don't move through that discomfort and invite them to the party or ask them if they want to build a large home for everyone. A community of belonging for everyone is the kind of congregation that Wolf is called to be. We say it right in our mission. We will grow as a compassionate community. We say it in our value statement. Not our value statement. Our vision. We say it in our vision. That's not what I wrote down. We say it in our vision that we strive to be an interconnected, diverse, supportive, and loving community. And we all have blind spots that make it challenging to invite others in and make the circle wider, which is hard to hear. Inclusion has been in the front pages for the last couple of weeks. You might have noticed it if you're watching the news at all. As the new administration has declared full out a war on the practices of DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion. Their story is that DE policies are discriminatory for white cis males, and that if you're not a white cis male, you're probably completely incompetent. So those people, whatever, DEI caused the tragic crash in DC this week, the wildfires in LA, the Baltimore Bridge collapse, inflation, college affordability, and it goes on and on. It simply makes my head spin. They miss that these policies are wide-reaching, diverse in the way they're acted out. Never ask anyone to hire somebody who's incapable of doing the job. Instead, the administration is committed to covering up hundreds of years of policies and actions by the U.S. government and other American institutions that promoted white cis men while discriminating against everybody else. Things like letting people be owned, or not allowing people to own property, or work in high-earning positions, or vote, or go to college, or live in areas with growing and stable house prices, just to name a few discriminatory policies that affected women and people of color and people with disabilities for hundreds of years. Meanwhile, the media has for decades portrayed everyone who is not a white cis male as incapable. For years, black people have been criminals or house help. Women are incompetent or they're sexual prizes for men. Gay men like to decorate. Lesbians hate men. The list of stereotypes goes on and on for most groups of people. This history and these stereotypes, those stereotypes, crawl into our minds, twisting our capacity to understand and accept others for who they actually are. This is called unconscious bias. And study after study, also very unfortunately, shows that it is real. Even if the person absolutely believes with all their might in the equality of all people, you can actually go take these tests online, and it is a humbling experience. But because of this, no one needs to feel embarrassed or ashamed that it happens. Unconscious bias is just how our brains were made to work. Unconsciously, we categorize everything so we can quickly understand a situation and make decisions. And this includes people. We created these categories from very young ages. And from what we heard and saw in our families and our communities, in the way textbooks explain things, in the stories we read or saw on television. And these settle deep into our brains, and we act them out with no conscious thought. While DEI programs are extremely varied in their approaches, one consistent objective is to overcome this unconscious bias, because it makes it more difficult to invite everyone to the party and dance with them. It affects people at work and in congregations. You probably have heard about, it used to be that only about 5% of women were in symphonies and orchestras. And then they started doing this thing where they put a screen so the people who were making the decision couldn't actually see the person. And now 40% of symphonies and orchestras are women. So we know that was real. So how do we transform this automatic work of our brains? We have to make those unconscious stories conscious. Only then can we start making different decisions. And this is always deeply uncomfortable because it's admitting we don't know something we don't know about ourselves, and it asks us to step into something new and uncertain. And believe me, it's significantly worse than having to change where you sat on Sunday morning. Many white UUs say that when they come to their first UU congregation, that they found people who think just like they do, and it felt like coming home. This could be your experience. It certainly was my experience. However, people of color who come into our congregation who have shared that they do not have this experience. Instead, they have a faith that speaks to their religious understanding, values, and hopes. They are committed to the principles and values of our faith and learning to live them. They are committed to our vision of what a beautiful world is like. But finding people just like them is not their experience. Instead, their experience is that others interact with them through their stereotypes. So they have to deal with white people believing they are not educated or smart, or that they are poor, or will personally do most of the work to bring in more people of color into the congregation. Other visible identities where people have stereotypes can often have similar experiences. These people are not accepted for their authentic identities. Sometimes they get invited to the party, but they are very much less likely to be invited to dance. Even UUs who do not feel that they found their people may feel they have to hide part of themselves. I've known UUs who felt they needed to hide their lack of a college degree, or that they had mystical experiences, or that they experienced a personal God. They felt they had to hide these things in order to belong. Years ago, when I was very poor, I did what I could to hide my poverty, since it made me so different than most people in my UU congregation. And I know that people with money often make judgments about people who are poor. They have made bad decisions, or they aren't smart. However, my car was a very visible indication that I was not like everyone else. And so I parked in the back, and I hoped that no one noticed. I heard a story from a black minister who was a longtime leader in our faith. She wanted to work at the leadership level in the area of professional development, or maybe it was mentoring, it was something like that. I don't remember exactly, but she was told by white male colleagues that she was more qualified to work on issues of diversity. She was devastated because her real expertise and interest was dismissed, and she was only seen for the color of her skin. Fortunately, as she applied for the position anyway and got it. Another woman minister who's well known in our congregation as being a great preacher preached for another minister, a male minister, while he was home on a family emergency. And when she was going through the receiving line, when people came through the receiving line, a woman asked her, "So did he write that sermon for you?" And that's happened, you know, within the last 15 years. So another manager tells a story, and this is not Unitarian Universalist, but it makes the point. A manager tells a story about starting her new job, absolutely committed to a team culture where everyone's gifts were seen and appreciated. One person on her team did not have a college education, so she routinely gave him less complicated assignments, assuming he probably wasn't up to the more complicated things. It was the other staff who ended up calling her on it. This person without a degree was everyone's go-to with questions because he had the best grasp of the complex systems they worked with. The manager had to face she had an unconscious bias that people without degrees were not as smart enough or as prepared as others. She needed to do the work of transforming her categories, which she worked very hard to do. But it didn't mean that she would not act out of that bias again. Automatic responses are very hard to undo. So we have to pay close attention and be very intentional about it. It is so, so easy to want to be with people who are like oneself in terms of life experiences and cultural perspectives. But if we want to offer true belonging and welcome everybody who's called into the messages of our faith, we need to work consciously to transform those neural pathways in our brains. Reverend Rosemary Bray McNatt shared the challenge in this morning's reading. Because diversity, inclusivity is terribly hard, terribly uncomfortable, definitely unsettling, and quite frustrating. What I know about being inclusive, crossing from culture to culture, learning the language of diversity, is that it is the work of a lifetime. And seriously, who wants to hear that? Including people in any setting should be fun. Letting unconscious biases that have a cast of racism or homophobia or transphobia or patriarchal thoughts is the worst thing. We mostly think that's the worst thing you can be. Yuck. It's so much easier to pretend we don't have that. We're not like that. It doesn't happen to us. I heard a story once on a TED Talk from a black feminist, and she shared a story about getting on an airplane and learning the pilot was a woman. And she had this instant fear in her body that things weren't going to go well. Well, that was pretty awful when she recognized what she thought and consciously had to remember what she actually believed. But she knew, as I do, that this isn't about being a good or a bad person. It's about transforming parts of ourselves. It's about learning and being curious and open to new lives. Because we all know one of the main ways to grow and learn is to experience something entirely different. And this is absolutely Unitarian Universalist. We love to be curious. We know revelation is opened, and we can learn new things and change. As I have released judgment about these things, I've actually found it pretty interesting. I meditate a lot, and so I'm really interested in what my mind throws up, what it does. And it has become a very high-stakes game, with lots of ways to challenge myself, make mistakes, and learn, always learning new ways to open my heart to love, acceptance, and inclusion. My favorite strategy for this is from Malcolm Gladwell. Like the woman on the airplane, he says, notice what your body does and what you think, like that woman on the airplane in the first moment. It's in his book, Blink. Then even if some horrible stereotype shows up, be glad. It's conscious. Only when it's conscious do we have the power to act differently. If it's unconscious, we'll just do the thing. So right after I read this, I was walking in Chicago and saw a group of black teenage boys hanging out on a street corner. I recognized my intense urge to cross the street. Then I thought how awful it would be to be a person that made other people cross the street. So I paused. It was clear they were just talking. And even though I was uncomfortable and my body wanted to do something else, I did not cross the street. And I just want to add a caution to that. Sometimes our instincts are right. So we do have to use some judgment and stay safe. But if that judgment is based solely on somebody's identity, it really might be wrong. And I have continued this practice over the years. I pay attention when I feel awkward and uncomfortable. I get curious, and I act from my values instead of my unconscious mind as best I can. And of course, I am imperfect. I might perceive something inaccurately or do something hurtful. I get tired. I get caught up in my own concerns. And sometimes my unconscious bias causes me to behave in a way that is less than welcoming and inclusive. And sometimes somebody might point this out to me, which I have to say feels really bad and makes me feel really guilty. And even if they didn't point it out, I might feel that way too. And all of this is okay. It's just a way we learn. We feel bad, we feel guilty, so we try to do something else. This is our conscious talking, which is a good thing to have. And so as we continue this conversation, I want to acknowledge that there is a group of people in the world that I call mean woke. They have a set of rules about language. It's about language mostly, but they have rules about the way everybody is supposed to act to be good and not harmful and all the things. And then they reprimand others in a way that can feel very much like a ruler on knuckles. And I think that's true. We do need a certain etiquette of language. English has many ways that it's set up to be exclusive. It wasn't long after all that humanity was referred to as man. And changing that actually was a real fight. And many people thought it was absolutely unnecessary. And I remember making that very argument, like as a teenager, to a friend, which I consider to be incredibly disturbing now. But now most of us wouldn't even consider using the word man for humanity. Learning inclusive language is important because language shapes how we think about things. However, learning the new language of inclusivity is not really the whole point. The point is to welcome everyone as the whole person that they are, without preconceived notions getting in the way. The point is to see each other as unique, interesting, and valuable. And our particular identities are very much part of who we are. They cannot be denied or made invisible. And at the same time, each of us owns our own stories. And each of us can also be curious, open, and learn other people's stories, even if they are radically different from how we have come to understand the world. This is one of the ways we get hope. It was in this morning's special music. He said, learn good, learn people good, but learn myself the best. Talk quiet and listen loud and dance when you can. This is hopeful, especially now when the world is broken by such polarization. Because the thing is this, when we include more people, this really does make the party more fun and more hopeful. We get to learn new dance moves. We get to build a house and learn ways to build it that is actually safe and creates belonging for everyone. And so moving through that discomfort, that awkwardness, making mistakes, as we struggle with those distorted patterns our society laid out in our brains, is totally worth it. So we are going to close today with the hymn, Welcome Table. And this is a version of the African spiritual sung while black people were still in slavery. It's a song calling for the truth of welcome, since they were not welcome anywhere to be who they were. They asked for God's welcome, feeling the safety of the one who called for justice and freedom for those imprisoned and oppressed. So let us remember that as we sing, welcome can be life-saving. Let us sing together.
Sit at the welcome table. We're gonna sit at the welcome table one of these days, hallelujah. We're gonna sit at the welcome table. Gonna sit at the welcome table one of these days. All kinds of people out around that table. All kinds of people around the table one of these days, hallelujah. All kinds of people around that table. Gonna sit at the welcome table one of these days. No fancy style welcome table. No fancy style at the welcome table one of these days, hallelujah. No fancy style welcome table. Gonna sit at the welcome table one of these days.
So go forth into the world and lay a welcome table. So we're gonna do our closing hymn, and the front people face the back, and the back face the front, and we will sing "Carry the Flame."